the Father supplies.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, would you come to you, Lord, knowing that you are the author and finisher of our faith, of all revelation. Lord, you're the one who gives us, Lord, the spiritual food in due season. Lord, we just ask that you would have your way in the furtherance of this service, Lord, that, Lord, no doubt Satan has tried to take my message away, Lord, but you know, we don't even have to have a computer or a book or anything, Lord. When you put it in our hearts and our minds, Lord, you can speak. We just ask that you just guide us now. And Lord, bless those that would listen in. Lord, we thank you and praise you. As you know, the hearts and the need also, Sister Evelyn, the family there, Lord, may you be with them, each one, Father. Lord, those that are not able to be here, we pray for Brother Goomba. Lord, as he'll be traveling home this week, that you would give him traveling mercy. Lord, just every heart, every need, as you know, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I just honestly don't know what happened. This is the second time in my ministry that I was going to the pulpit, and the first time it happened to me, I was in Meru, Kenya, and I was sitting at a desk, and I don't know what I did. I hit a button, and my message went into oblivion. And I went to the pulpit. I mean, they were calling me to the pulpit. And so nothing I could do but walk to the pulpit and start talking. And I ministered the best that I could. Without any notes, without anything. And what was amazing is that the night before, that the Lord brought three quotes to my mind and helped me put a message together that I thought was just the Lord just did it all, just brought every quote right to my mind and everything. And I thought, this is amazing. I was excited I don't know what I did. I hit a button and it was gone. It wasn't in the trash. Couldn't find it anywhere. And so this morning, I started closing out everything, because when I'm studying, I have several pages open and I have notes on each one. And what I know I'm not going to use today, I'll go ahead and date for like Wednesday. And I have that. I dated it Wednesday, and I just keep pushing stuff out there and just holding on to what I'm going to use today. So I already have it dated, I have it titled, I have everything. And so I don't know what happened. When I went to send it out, I did send it out. And when I came back and opened it, it was not my message. It was just notes that I had. And so I can't find it anywhere. I don't know what I did. I don't know what happened. But somewhere I sent it somewhere. So I don't know. So I'm just going to have to do the best I can do this morning. But I really, I thought I had it all together. I have nice put together well. And so, but God knows, and God's in control. So we thank him. So now you're not going to have the quotes this morning. But I do have a couple of, I'm going to read first. Out of the Voice of the Sign, and this is in 1964. I'm reading from page 40, paragraph 47, to about maybe 51, 50, something. So 52 or 53. And I'm sorry about that. So what I sent out is not maybe some quotes I might use as we go along. But then I'm going to read from the book of Numbers, chapter 16. So you can pull that up on your app when we get to it. So let us just start here. In paragraph 47, he said, "Now watch. Every true God-sent sign is followed by a voice." Amen. Now you notice here the text, the sign and the voice. See? And that's what he's talking about. The sign and the voice of the sign. He said, if they won't believe the voice of the first sign, then they'll believe the voice of the second sign. And now, I'm remembering now, The scripture that I had another scripture here, and I don't even remember what chapter it was in the Old Testament, where Moses, where God is telling Moses, he's sending Moses down, and he's telling him, said, now if and you know, Moses is trying to tell God, you know, who am I? They're not going to believe me. I don't want this job, you know, all of those things. And so God's saying, I'm going to give you a sign. I'm going to give you two signs. And he said, if they won't believe the voice of the first sign, he said, they will believe the voice of the second sign. Now, God's assuring him that the second sign is going to do it. Whatever the first sign doesn't catch, the second sign is going to catch it. And so they're going to know of something. But at the same time, we know that they continued to go further and further and further away from God. And so much so that after all that they went through, after all that God did for them in that day, by the time it comes to Jesus' day, Jesus said, and they're everyone dead. They're everyone dead. Everyone are eternally separated from God. So in the scripture there, he's talking about, God is telling him, so if they don't believe the voice of the first sign, they'll believe the voice of the second sign. So Brother Branham is bringing to our attention that every sign has a voice. So anytime God does anything supernatural, anytime he gives any sign, there's a message behind it. There's something coming that God wants us to know, that God is going to speak. Amen. And so that's the thing he wants us to get. This is way over in 1964, and he makes some astounding statements here, and I mentioned a couple of them as we were closing on Wednesday night, and now we're going to read it. So the sign and the voice, see, if they won't believe the voice of the first sign, then they'll believe the voice of the second sign. See, now the sign has a voice. And now every true God-sent sign has a voice. And that voice must speak according to the word that's given for that day just exactly. So if you see a sign, then that sign, the voice that speaks behind it, has got to be according to God. It's got to be the truth of God's word. And it's got to be for the day and the age that you live in.
That's right.
And he's gonna say more of that. He's going to nail that down. If the voice comes and the same old voice or the same old, you see a sign rather, he's rephrasing it. He wants to identify the sign. Said, if you see a sign, and the sign that the man is doing is the same old school of thought. What's he saying? He's saying, there's a sign, there's a gift, there's something supernatural going on, there's something happening that the people are seeing that's attracting the attention of the people. And he's saying, when that sign comes, that the voice behind that sign is the same old idea. He said, then it's not God. He said, then you know it's wrong. Now, Brother Branham made these statements several times. He didn't just say it one time, but in several different messages, he made these same statements. And now, watch what he says now, because he's going to put this discernment in you. He's going to put it in you. See? The sign that the man is doing is the same old school of thought. Then you can say right then, that didn't come from God. So what is he doing? He's enlightening you. He's giving you revelation to identify false teachers, false prophets, false preachers, false anything.
Amen.
If they come with some gift, they come with some sign, they come with something, and the word that they're preaching, the voice, the message that's coming behind that sign is not according to the message of the age, then you automatically can say, that's what he said, then you can say, that's not God. You can identify that thing. You can prove that thing is wrong, because that's not how God operates.
Yes,
and that's his whole premise here. That's what he wants to establish, and that's what he's after. And we read the scripture. That was another scripture I had here. I couldn't think of it when I was there trying to get a message back together. About Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And we read out of the Invisible Union where Brother Branham said, God adds a new part in every age.
Yes,
so if he's the same, If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the man-made idea, the theological idea, the intellectual idea, the carnal idea, is that God, that he can't change. Okay? Yeah. That he's the same. That's the thing. He's the same. And I've heard over the years, many, many times, preachers interpret that you can't add anything. This is the Word of God. This is the Bible. You can't add anything to this. Well, that's the furthest from the truth that there is. Because the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the whole basis of the Bible is God adding a new part in every age. He's adding something new. He's revealing something more. He's been unfolding himself from Genesis to Revelations. And so, but what happens in every age, God speaks something, they reject it, and then as soon as he dies and goes off the scene, then they take that and they say, you know, this was God. And then they take that and they denominate that, and this is, you got to believe this right here. Okay? Well, God's already moving on. Here they're trying to pick up what's already happened and is over, and they reject it. And now God is moving on into the next age, or to the next prophet, or to the next revelation, the next unfolding of himself. And here, they're denominating what he said and said, now you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this. And it's easy for us to identify in the Pentecostal age, because they said you have to speak with tongues, you have to do this, you have to do that. But that's what they've been doing all the way through. That's what they did in Luther's day. That's what they did in Wesley's day. It came through the church ages. But that's what it was all the way back. All the way back. Amen. They denominated that thing. Yes, and I was reading this morning, I think it might be in Numbers chapter 15, because we're going to read chapter 16. But in 15, at the end of the chapter, he's telling them, now you beware, you make sure that you obey every command that I give you. You make sure that you follow and do everything that I've told you. And he said that I want you, all of you, to take on the fringes, I don't know exactly how that was, but he said on the fringes of your clothes, he said they were to add something there, a ribbon there, and they were to make it blue, and he said this is to remind you. This is to remind you of all that God has done, all that he's brought you through, and all how he's delivered you, and how he's brought you into this new land. These things that I'm doing right now, I want you to put that on there, and it's going to remind you daily. You're going to have it on you. You're going to wear it. You're going to wear it. Well, by the time Jesus came, they had all kinds of things. They had where they had scriptures here. They had different things on them, and so it just become tradition. It just become something that it didn't have the sincerity that it had when it began, and that's what happens every time. The same with not. I was reading there too, where I don't know if it was the first time somebody was stoned for carrying something on the Sabbath day, but they found a man who was carrying sticks on the Sabbath day. And this was, pretty sure it was in the book of Numbers. And so they found this man, they apprehended him, and they brought him before Moses. They didn't know what to do. They knew that they weren't supposed to do anything on the Sabbath, but they didn't know what they were supposed to do to this guy. So they just come, said they put him in war, they put him in jail. And so they go to Moses and they said, now we found this guy, and he was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. And he said, what should we do with him? And he said, kill him. Moses said, kill him. Let this be a lesson. You don't do anything. So you see there where it's established. And then you see by the time it gets to Jesus' day, it's just tradition. They're all in the same boat. They're all in the same boat. They like killing people. And you see that through. We'll read some other scriptures on it later. They got where they liked it. They got where they liked it. They wanted to do it. They didn't just want to kill the person for making a mistake. They wanted to kill the whole family. And the whole time God is saying, I want mercy. I want grace. I want to extend grace to them. I want to forgive them for this, but they need to repent. Back there in the Old Testament. It was always there. That was always an attribute of him. Even though that wasn't the grace age, that was the nature of the attribute of God always. That was there. So he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you see a sign, and the sign that the man is doing is the same old school of thought, then you can say right then, it didn't come from God. And if it keeps identifying the old school of thought, it never did, it never has, it would be against God's program. Huh? That's pretty powerful. But that's in every age. That's coming all the way through. That God is telling them, God never did it that way. He's never going to do it that way. And so it's not God's program. It's not God's pattern. It's got not God's nature, not the way he operates at all. Amen. Paragraph 49. It's got to be something new. That's as plain as it can be. And that's why I love in the invisible union when he said the word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work today. He said, we have something different. Amen. If we got something different, that means we got something new. We got something they didn't have. And so we have something new. It's got to be something. See, let me see if I want to make sure I didn't skip any. It's got to be something new. It's got to be something that the people don't understand. Now that's quite a statement. Amen. That's quite a statement. That God, in every age, is going to add a new part. He's going to send signs and wonders. And then those signs and wonders is going to have a voice behind it. A voice, a message, is going to come behind that. So all of that is just to get the attention. Just to draw the attention of the people. And then God's going to speak. That's what's happening. God is flashing a light, saying, I'm fixing to speak. And then he sends that prophet out there, and that prophet begins to speak, begins to reveal the scripture for the day and the age that we're living in. That's what he does. See, it's got to be something that the people don't understand. Why? Why something they don't understand? Because they're not going to understand it. Because it's only for the elect of the age. The elect of the age is going to get it according to God's way. And Brother Branham said, that's a pattern too. That's God's pattern. He said that pattern started with Cain and Abel. He reveals it to one and he hides it from the other one. And so it's got to be something that nobody knows, because why? It's hid from the foundation of the world. What are those seven thunders? The mysteries hidden from the foundation of the world. But something new was happening all the way through. You look at Moses, he come down there to deliver the people. He got back there in the desert. Brother Adam said he was happy, he was fine, he had his wife, he had his children. He was taking care of the sheep. He was just satisfied. He was satisfied with all, and he had all that knowledge, all that he learned in Egypt. He could do anything. He had the scientific knowledge. He had the military knowledge. He had all of that. He could have been a big guy. He was a big guy. But yet, now here he is, just a humble little shepherd. And he's happy. And he's satisfied. There's only one thing lacking in his life. And that is, he still wants to know that God. He wants to know that God that they've been talking about all of this time. And that God comes to him. And that God meets him. And that God talks to him. And that God sends him back where he don't want to go. See, it's got to be something that they don't understand. Or it wouldn't be sent. See? It don't need to be sent if it's the same old school of theology. It's got to be something different. It's got to be. And you remember not too long ago we read a quote, and Brother Branham was talking about the gifts. And he said, you watch people. They come with the gifts, that they'll speak in tongues, they'll prophesy, they'll do this. And he said, all they're doing is quoting the scripture. Or they're repeating something that's already said. He said, that's not it. He said, you don't need a gift. You don't need to speak in tongues if you're going to turn around and tell me the interpretation is right in my Bible. I can just read it out of the Bible. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of all of that? He said, if it's a gift of God, it's going to be something new. God's going to speak something that you don't know. Brother Branham said, that's what it's for, is to warn the people, or to whatever they have need of, it's God speaking to them. Amen. And so He said, if it's something that's already there, he said, it don't need to be sent. If it's the same old school of thought, it's got to be something different. It's got to be identified in the Word that it's for that day. Amen. Now, there's the catch right there. It's got to be identified in the Word. And that takes my mind all the way back to Brother Branham said his message on the seven thunders was, sirs, is this the time? And in that message, Brother Branham said, these mysteries that are not written in the Bible, he said, they're not written in there. They said those thunders are not written in there. And that message is when, before the seals was open, before anything, he knows something's fixing to happen. He knows he's the messenger to reveal those things. He knows that God has showed him there's a blast going to take place. The sayings, he talks about these six dreams and then capped it with the vision. The seventh thing was a vision. And he's identifying all them things. And all them things are pointing at one thing. And that's the revealing of Jesus Christ, the coming of Jesus Christ, the revealing of these mysteries that are not written in the Bible. And so Brother Branham said about them mysteries. He said since they're not written in there, he said they would either be scripture or a continuation of the scripture. So it's going to be God coming on the scene and continuing on. It's not, never is it contrary to the Word of God. Amen. It's not contrary. Right. It's a continuation. And so from Genesis to Revelation, it's been a continuation. It's just been God unfolding and unfolding and unfolding. And we've said that many times, that God is going to unfold himself throughout eternity. That's we know that. And so, and even message people say that and then try to say our prophet can only say what Paul said. It doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even make sense. Now, I want to put the board up here because I wrote all this out. I just thought, I just had this message all ready and all nice. And, you know, I felt so comfortable and so good. And I thought, this is just great. And then it's out there somewhere. That's what's amazing about this. I don't know if I titled it wrong and put it somewhere else, but my title and my date and my title that I have is not my message. It's something else. And so, it's just baffling me. But anyways, so he says it must be something new. It must be something different. It must be something that we don't understand. Because it has to come by revelation. Amen. It has to be revealed. Right. It's going to be God revealing himself to the elect of the age. Amen. Nobody else is going to get it. Just the elect. Yes. The only ones. So then he said, it's got to be identified in the Word for the day. For that day. It's got to be identified in the Word. Amen. And so that's where people miss it. Now, to me, that's the beauty of this message is it. With everything that prophet taught, it goes right to the Bible. It just fits perfectly in the scripture. You don't find something that Brother Ram talked about the book of the Maccabees. He said, why isn't that in a part of the Bible? He said, because it don't fit. He said, one of the scriptures in the book of Maccabees, he says, Jesus took a little piece of clay and put a stick on it for the wings and a couple sticks for the legs and some another piece up here for the head and said, fly away, little birdie. And he said, that don't go. That don't fit. He said, you don't see him doing stuff like that. You don't see him doing that kind of thing. And so it's got to go. He talked about these others and their visions. There was two or three people. I don't remember who they were. One of them was Joseph Smith with the Mormons. He said, I don't doubt for a minute that he had a vision. He said, but his vision was not according to the Word. His vision was not according to the Word. And so we're going to see in number 16 where those people, they didn't know what was going on. They were confused at what was going on. We can see now, we can understand what was happening, what they were going through. We can understand it now. Just like he just told us here, that we can identify when we see these things. Why? Because it's been revealed. It's been revealed now that God in every age is doing something new. God in every age now is revealing a greater part of himself. That's a revelation to us. So now when somebody comes along and tries to go backwards, they try to go back, or they try to come and they have a gift. And you know, the scripture says that there would be great signs and wonders in the last days. We know that, Matthew 24. So they can have all of that. And you watch people follow after that. But the voice, the message that they're preaching behind those signs is not according to the Word of God. And he's telling you that you know right then. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to read read your Bible over again, read a bunch of messages. No, you know right then,
yes, sir,
this is not of God.
Yes, sir.
Because it doesn't go with the message.
Amen.
It doesn't go. And so he's opening our eyes. A lot of times the things that's happening, sometimes we don't even realize all of the revelation that he's gave us. We don't realize all of the things that he's taught us. We just take it for granted sometimes. It's like a child they're in your home. They're learning stuff every day. They're watching you when you think they're not watching you. They're hearing you when you think they're not hearing you. They're learning something every day, and they're storing that. They're storing that, and they're storing that. And it comes back around. Sometimes things come back around. They call us. That's how it is. That's what's happening to us in the spiritual, what happens to them in the natural. And so it's God making it more real. So it's got to be something new. It's got to be something they don't understand. See, and it's got to be identified in the Word. So our prophet was identified in the Word. He came with the Scripture. He said, we didn't know nobody. I don't know of any denomination, any church, any preachers. I don't know of any. Now, my wife was in the Baptist church for all of her life. Her mother was in the same church all her life. Her grandmother was in the same church. So all of that. I don't know of any church that was looking and waiting for a prophet to come in the last days. Does anybody know? Before the prophet came and identified himself in the Scripture. Now we know in Jesus' day they knew a Messiah was coming.
Yes,
now they didn't recognize him when he came, but in that day they did know. But in this day, I don't know anybody, any church, any group that was actually looking for the prophet to come. They were looking for Jesus to come. They were looking for the second coming, but they weren't looking for the forerunner to come. And they once again didn't recognize him when he came. And so he identified himself. And that's what John did. John said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He identified himself in the Word. God will vindicate. God will prove. Just as he proves his messengers, he also will prove his bride. He's going to prove you. He's going to prove his life in you. And so there's no way around it. That's what he's going to do. He identifies himself in you. Paragraph 50, signs are from God. See, and the voice that follows the sign must be the voice of God speaking from the Word for that age. Do you understand it? Congregation says amen. God gives signs. What does he do it for? He always gives signs. He told them that's what they would look for him in, the signs. God gives signs to attract the attention of his people. Now let's study this thoroughly. See, signs are given to attract the attention of the people. Because when God sent sign is given, God is ready to speak.
Amen.
God is ready to speak when the sign is given. And if it comes from heaven, if it's from God, and God is ready to speak, he's trying to attract the attention of the people. And there's people perhaps sitting here. When the angel of the Lord came down there and told me what he did, right there in 1933, right down here on this Spring Street here. See? And how he has brought that right down, everything. And we've went out bringing the message. See? What happened? What happened? There was a sign. There was a sign. There, God speaking from heaven. There was a cloud. There was a pillar of fire. And the voice spoke and said, you will pack a message. You're gonna be a voice. A shout is gonna go forth through you. And you're gonna forerun the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what happened. Did God vindicate it? He spoke it. Did God prove it? Absolutely, he proved it. And he didn't just prove it in the supernatural and the gifts that he gave him. But he went back and he proved it in the Bible.
Amen.
That's what Paul did in his day. Amen. He had the signs, he had the gifts, he had all of that. But he went back and he pulled them scriptures out and he identified.
Amen.
He identified Christ. He identified himself. He identified the blood. He identified the covenant of the day. He identified those things. Proved it. Vindicated God. Vindicating those things.
Amen.
So, look, he said, and we've went out bringing the message, seen the sick healed, the blind, the crippled, the lame, the halt, everything. And then see even the dead that we know that's been verified, raised up from the dead. See, the people die, raised back up to life again, all these things. If a message goes forth, there is signs and wonders.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Now, I want to read. I want you, if you want to follow me in your Bible, this is in Numbers chapter 16. When I was ministering this in Kenya, I just read 2, 3, 4 verses towards the end. I don't know, somewhere in the 20 something or something. I don't know. But anyways, I'm going to read the whole chapter, I think. But I'm going to start at verse 1 because God is going to vindicate that Moses is the voice of God in this day. That's what he's going to do. And I want you to watch how he does it. And I want you can see it all the way through. Because he's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, I'm not saying it right, I know. And the sons of Eliab. And On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. Okay, all of these people right here, they took men. They took a group of people. And they're going to do something. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel. 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. So now, all these, this group now is gathering together, and they're rising up, and they've brought 250 of the famous men of renown, princes of the children of Israel, and they're all coming against Moses. Okay, now. When I look back at what they have already come through, I'm already convinced that this is the voice of God, that this is the man of God, that this is the one bringing the message. I'm already convinced. He opened the Red Sea. They went across on dry land. He turned the water into blood. He spoke fleas. He spoke flies. The firstborn was killed of all of Egypt. All those things he done. And I want to point out, because we have a number of scriptures I want to read that's making this point, that all of that was a new thing that had never been done. Can we say that? Can we say that? All them things that Moses was doing were something new that never had been done before. God was doing a new thing. But God was vindicating. Now he's given the signs, he's given the wonders, given the supernatural, given all of that. And he was vindicating that this was the voice of God. And they rose up before Moses and certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, You take too much upon you, and seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them, wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Look at, they're putting themselves right there. They're all claiming that they're a part of this, that they all are serving God, that they're all one, and they're all, we're just as holy, we're just as important, we're just as everything. And they say, all the congregation is holy. That is true. And that's where every one of us needs to be. Every one of us needs to be holy. We need to be living that life. Our life needs to be a holy, a consecrated life. But that doesn't put us in the place of the prophet. That doesn't, that if God does something supernatural for you, if God answers your prayer, if God gives you a gift, if God does anything, and there's some great something happening to you, and it wants to lift you up, then the wrong spirit is getting in there. God will keep us humble. Just like this morning, He's humbling me. that's what we want. Amen. We want all of that supernatural. We want all of that blessing. We want all of that power. And we want to stay humble. We want to know that we're walking. We want to know that we're living in heavenly places, in the kingdom of heaven. We're walking with God every day. Amen. That we are sons and daughters of God. And not have that attitude that we're up here and everybody else is down here.
That's right. Yes, sir.
We don't want that spirit. We don't want that attitude.
Amen.
We don't want that nature.
That's
the nature that's supposed to die.
Yes, sir.
That the nature of God will manifest itself.
Amen.
See, but they're being accused of lifting up yourselves above the congregation. And verse 4, and when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. Now immediately, the judgment is falling here. When, as soon as he hears it, he immediately goes down and is humbling himself before God. God is already fixing to speak judgment. And Moses knows it. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow, there was no chit chat, there was no greetings and getting ready for this. As soon as they spoke, as soon as they condemned Moses, Moses fell on his face and immediately tells them, tomorrow you come. God's going to show. God is going to prove who is who. Who's talking?
That's right.
And he spake unto Korah and to all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do. Take you censers, Korah, and all his company, all these 250, all these other men, all of you, take a censer and light it on fire. And these censers were holy. These censers were used in the service of the Lord. And so, it all has meaning, it all has purpose. So, here, God is fixing to do something. But the amazing thing to me is, why would they need anything more than what they already had? There's never been in the history of the world as much supernatural deliverance, the delivering power of God displayed before a group of people anywhere since the foundation of the world than what these people had already seen. There had never been anything like it. And now they have been delivered. Now they've left Egypt. They once were slaves. Now they're out there. They're serving the Lord. They're walking with the Lord. God has given them a pillar of fire. He's given them a cloud. He's given them a prophet. He's given them everything.
Amen.
And they're rebelling against it. But what is God doing? God is revealing how he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what he's doing. He's revealing right here how he's the same. He's revealing that this is the way he's going to be all the way through. All the way through. This is the way he's going to be. This is his nature. This is his attribute. Do this. Take ye censers, Korah, and all this company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. Think now, this is the priest. This is the priesthood. The tribe of Levi, those were the preachers. Those were the pastors. Those were the ministers to the people. And they didn't choose themselves. God chose them. God is the one who called that tribe to minister to the people. He's the one. He's the one that picked them. He's the one that chose them. Now, they're going to raise up against the one that God has chose to place them in their place. And Moses said unto Korah, "Hear, I pray you, you sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself and to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them?" Now he's reminding them, God did this to you. God placed you in this important position, made you ministers of God to the people. "And he's brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. And seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. What is Aaron that you murmur against him?" And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, "We will not come up." Now these men are not coming. These men are refusing. So Korah and his 250, they're going to come. This group here is saying they're not coming. So let's see what God does. "Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? Except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us." That they just are despising the fact that God put him over them. That God put him in that position. And although God lifted all of them up, God put them in great position. But yet, they didn't want God's chosen leader to be over them. And did you hear what they said? They were down in Egypt slaves, and they're saying, "Is it a small thing that thou, Moses, has brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey?" The promise was they were going to a land of milk and honey. And now they're accusing Moses that we were already in a land of milk and honey. And now you took us out of it, and look at where we're at. "Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." So they're defiant. They're not, "We're not coming. We're not going to light the censers. We're not doing any of that. You just do whatever you want. We're not following you. We're not listening to you. We don't care about you." And Moses was very wroth, and said unto the Lord, "Respect not thou their offering." Now, this is getting personal now. This is really, Moses is upset. He's taking it, I think, personal. But I think also this is the voice of God. And God, he knows that God is doing this, all of this. God is the one in control of this thing. He knows it. And here they're rebelling against him, and he's trying, if anything, he's trying to help them. He said, "Respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them." and constant complaints, complaints, complaints. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring you before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also, and Aaron, and each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in it, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all of them. Who did he appear to? All of them. And who does he pour out the Spirit in the last days? Upon all flesh. Upon all flesh. They're all anointed. They all feel powerful. They all feel like they're the voice of God. They all feel like they're the chosen ones of God. They're all holy. They're all this and they're all that. Oh, yeah. Same. Been all the way. It's been that way all the way through. I want to just point out another thing in verse 19. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them. How much? All. So this number here is getting big. This number against Moses is getting big. Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. God is calling for a separation. And this is another thing that goes all the way through. God is calling for a separation. He's calling us for a separation. He's calling us for a separation from the things of the world. It is a separation. It's not just talk about it. It's not just say it. It is a separation. Amen. It's a separation. It's a life that you walk alone with God. It's you and God. And He is revealing Himself. He is manifesting Himself. He is living His life. Amen. Brother Branham, I wish I could find that letter. If anybody knows where it's at, I want you to get it so we can bring it to the people so that they can read it. It's out there somewhere. But Brother Branham, they found in his belongings after he passed a letter. And it was, I'm just paraphrasing now, it talked about how that you watch other people that claim to be Christians or claim to be in the message, claim to be this, claim to be that. And he said, you watch their life and they can do anything. He said, but you can't. He said, there's something in you that won't let you do what they do. Now, what is that? And he said, that's that life living in you. That's that life. I'd like to find that and powerful something there. So he's telling him, separate yourself. I'm going to consume them. And they fell upon their faces and said, oh God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? So he's pleading. He's interceding. He's standing in the breach for the people. These here have rebelled. These have rejected you. These have come against the leadership. But Lord, don't kill all of them because of these. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, now here it is again, separation. Here's right now, this is they're making their decision. You want to stand with Korah? Stand with Korah. You want to stand with the Lord? Separate yourself. Separate yourself from them. Separate yourself from them because judgment is falling. See, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went to Dathan and Abram, and the elders of Israel followed him. Now, they're the ones who refused to come. And so he's going to get them. He's going to face them. They said they're not coming. And so he goes to them. Korah come with the 250. So all of that's there. They brought many of the congregation up against Moses. And so we're going to get them all together now. We're going to get them all together. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all of their sins. Identified in them, a part of them. Separate from them, or you're going to be judged with them. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Abram on every side. So everybody is taking heed now. They're following the words of Moses. They're backing up. They're getting away from this group of people. And stood in the door of their tents. And so they got up from the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Abram on every side. And Dathan and Abram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. Here's the whole family now. Listen. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all of these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. I'm not here because I wanted to come. I was happy back there on the backside of the desert. I was with my family. I was raising my children. I was okay. And God sent me here. And God told me what to say. God told me what to do. And God delivered you from Egypt. Now, here comes right here. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. Here's the challenge now. And if the Lord make a new thing, what's God going to do now? Something that's never been done from the foundation of the world. That's what's fixing to happen. Something that's never been done. But that's what's been happening from their whole time now, ever since Moses came back to Egypt, is God has been doing something new that he'd never done before.
Yes, sir.
Because he's the same. That's what he always does. That's what he's done all the way through the Bible. Amen. And if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Now, they use the word there, understand. We're going to find out if they really understood. But this, remember, he said, it's got to be identified in the word. It's got to be identified. And so, in everything we're talking about, we want to make sure we recognize it in this day. Because that's what's important to us. That's where our need is today. But what he's showing us is that God's attributes, he's the same in every age. He's the same all the way through. He's constantly unfolding himself. He's constantly doing something new, something that had never been done before. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. Now, I keep looking for clues to try to figure out how many people this was and how big of an area this was. But this was a lot of families. This was a lot of families and a lot of children and a lot of wives and a lot of animals and a lot of tents and this was a big area. And so I don't know if it was an acre. I don't know if it was 10 acres, but it was a lot of people. It was a lot of people, and they had come against the Lord. And everybody else had backed up. They had backed up. And the ground opened up and swallowed all of them, all of them. Didn't leave any of them. And everything that pertained to them. That's the scripture. Everything that pertained to them went down. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses and all the men that pertained unto Korah and all of their goods. And they and all that pertained unto them went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Completely gone. In a moment's time, it was over. And all the people were watching this take place. All of the people were seeing God vindicate the voice of God, vindicate the message of the hour. That's what they seen. God was proving His word. God was vindicating that this was the messenger, that this was the message. Verse 34, and all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. So they didn't go down. They were burn up. So here's another new thing that had never been done before since the foundation of the world is now this judgment coming upon the people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, and as you read through these chapters, this is what you find every time. You don't find God speaking to anybody else. The Lord spake unto Moses. The Lord spake unto Moses over and over and over again. And then it went to the people. That's just what, I read that quote just, I think it was this morning or yesterday, where Brother Branham said that the revelation comes to some man, some person in some locality, could be anywhere, could be anybody, no special person, just God chooses who He's going to speak through. And He said, that's the one and the only one. He said, there's only one gift to the age. Right. Only one. There's not two or three. God never uses two or three. Right. Never, ever. In Elijah's day, in Ahab and Jezebel's day, they had 400 prophets. They had 450 prophets. They had one true prophet. Right. They had one voice of God. And all of that was false. And they all believed the same God and the same Bible and the same everything. Same sacrifice, same thing, exactly. All Hebrew prophets, maybe even from the tribe of Levi, maybe all the same thing. But they left. They weren't identified in the word of the age. The word of the age. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, where all of them were burnt up. Go pick up all those censers, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hollowed. And the censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar. For they offered them before the Lord, therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And what he's telling them now is to take every one of those censers and melt them down and make plates out of them and put them in there. These were holy instruments doing a holy service to a holy God. And now these false anointed ones have defiled that. And so they're not going to be used for that anymore, but you're going to put them there. You're going to make something else out of them. You're going to put them right there on the altar so that every generation sees that and remembers that God vindicated this day, that God proved this day, that God proved His message and His messenger. Amen. 39, and Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger, which is not of the seed of Aaron, come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said unto him by the hand of Moses. And on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you've killed the people of the Lord. Now, didn't we just mentioned that word, understand, right? He said, now you understand. Did they understand? Did they understand what was happening? Here they're blaming Moses again. Moses didn't lift a finger. God is the one who opened the earth. God is the one who sent the fire. God is the one who did all of these things.
Amen.
And they still can't separate the man and the message. They can't separate that God is the one doing this thing.
Amen.
He says, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses. Again. After they seen the power of God. After they seen. They didn't know it was the vindication of God.
Amen.
They didn't realize what was taking place. And that's the difference today. We know. We know what these things are. When we look at Los Angeles, we know it's judgment. When we look at Biden and Harris, we know. When we look at the transgender stuff in the schools, we know what it is. We know it's an evil spirit that's sent forth in the last days for these reprobate minds of the people. They're blinded. They're completely blinded. They've been given over to a reprobate mind.
Yes, sir.
Somebody had posted on one of the groups there about one of these, I don't know what it is. I know they have three or four different things. One of them they call, I think, the Golden Globes. And they give out one, maybe they call it the Oscars. They have two or three different things. Maybe they have more than that. I don't even know. You can't help but see the headline sometimes. I don't care for it. I don't follow that. But it's just a bunch of hypocrites exalting one another. And that's what it is. Just a bunch of hypocrisy.
Right.
But anyways, the woman who was hosting or doing the talking, she was talking about somehow or another, they had this thing of how many times during this, I don't know what you would even call it, during this ceremony, how many times certain things was mentioned.
Yes.
And so you seen that? And so it mentioned that a certain person was mentioned so many times, something else was mentioned so many times, something else was hardly any mention. And then she said, God. And she said, zero. She said, God not even known in this godless town, something like that. And so, and then they went from that straight to Los Angeles burning. And I thought, that's just good. That's exactly right. It reminds me, years ago, they had a list. And I think the Beatles was on there. Maybe one of the Beatles was on there. How he defied God, some of the things. And different people who defied God and how they died within a few days or weeks or whatever. And which reminds me of when the Beatles stood and said, we're more popular than Jesus Christ. And it so upset many of the denominational people that they had a record burning and a book burning, and they burned all of that. And then within a few months, they started right back.
Yep.
Satan it's not so bad. It's not so. That's what Satan does.
Yes, sir.
That's what Satan does. He got people to where this gay stuff. Okay, so whatever you want to do, that's fine. Just do whatever you're going to do. Okay, it just becomes normal. And then so we get that normal. And then what do? Then we come with this transgender stuff. Then we come with these drag queens. We come with this. And they're trying to make it normal. And they will if you let them.
That's right.
If you let them, they will. And one thing's for sure, the Democrats have been letting it. They've been promoting it.
Yes, sir.
In every shape, form, and fashion, they're promoting it. And what astounded me is these big, big corporations all jumped on the bandwagon. But if you're looking closely now, you're seeing a lot of them are backing out. You're seeing Zuckerberg. He's backing out now because he was pressured by the Democrats. He was pressured by the CIA and the FBI. They put pressure on them to censor all of that stuff. And you say you can't say anything about the Democrats. You can't say anything. If you said anything about the vaccine during COVID, you were canceled. Say anything about any of that stuff. Fauci, any of that stuff. And they still say that they hadn't done anything wrong and that Fauci hasn't done anything wrong. But just in case, they want to go ahead and give him a presidential pardon in advance.
Yep.
Liars.
Yep.
Hypocrites.
Yes, sir.
You know good and well it was wrong. You know good and well you had an agenda. You know good and well what you were doing.
I don't know.
I'm assuming that Joe Biden can pardon himself. I don't know. They do everything else. They pardon anybody else they want. If you can pardon in advance,
yeah.
I guess you can pardon yourself.
Yeah.
And he needs to do it. He definitely needs to do it because he's just as guilty as all of them. They just need to line up. Kamala, all of them. It came to pass, 42, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get ye up from among this congregation. What's he doing? Separation. It's separation. There's always a separation. Brother Branham said in the message, God's word calls for total separation. He said, he'll separate you from your family. He'll separate you from a community. He'll separate you from a church. He'll separate you from anything that's between you and him.
That's right.
He said, it will take a complete and total separation.
Amen.
45, get ye up from among this congregation that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell on their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, see, God is revealing to Moses what he's fixing to do. And Moses is immediately acting upon it. In the beginning, he fell on his face. Here he is again, falling on their faces. They know God's judgment's falling. Right now it's falling. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord and the plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. What a place to be standing. There was a sacrifice there. There was an offering there. And he's standing between the living and the dead. And Jesus said that they were every one dead, that every one was eternally separated. That's right. And God was proving it. They were rejecting and rejecting and rejecting what God was doing in that day. Brother, sister, the bride is standing between the living and the dead today.
Amen.
The bride is standing with the revelation.
That's right.
The bride, and there's the only life, the only eternal life that there is in the bride. And those that can receive it. And she's speaking that eternal life. And those that can receive it are receiving life. And those that can't receive it are eternally separated from God.
Amen.
That's where we're standing.
Yes,
know you not the saints shall judge the world?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. You're offering them. You're offering them life. When you offer him this revelation, this message. God is the word. And it's the word that we're offering. It's the word. It's the word that's being made manifest. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, besides them that died about the matter of Korah. 14,700, 250, Korah's families, Dathan's families, Abraham's families, all of their families, all that pertained to them, swallowed up into the earth. 250 burn up. Fire out of heaven. A plague falls and 14,700 more. And God didn't bury these. They had to bury these. In the message, a man running from the presence of the Lord. And you still see that same old school of thought. You know, he's saying the same thing where we started in Voice of the Sign. The Voice of the Sign. And you see that same old school of thought that you come up with. That didn't come from God. God don't have to do, dot, dot, dot. God is trying to get your attention attracted to something. And then when Jesus went out, he started healing the sick and doing great works and things. Jesus did it. And Moses and Jesus done it. Huh? And the rest of them. And when he was here, he did it. He's telling us all the way through. It's been the same thing. All the way through, it's been the same thing. God showed signs and wonders and then a message. Signs and wonders, then a message. What do we have today? Signs and wonders and a message. A message. I remember. I'm sure Sister Edith remembers. My wife remembers. Way back when we were in Florida 40 years ago. We found out God sent a prophet. And we were excited. We were excited. He had gifts. He had the dead was raised. The blinded eyes were open. All of those, the flesh was created. All of those supernatural things and healings and things that was taking place. And that's all we knew. That there was a prophet. We didn't have a clue that there was a message. That came later. That came later. And then the Son of Man, that came later. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was just a prophet with the gift, with signs and wonders. That's all it was. Mm-hmm. And we were excited. Mm-hmm. We came out of everything. We left everything else. There was some truth there. There was a truth of water baptism. There was a truth of the Godhead. And there was serpent seed. And those was about the three. Those were the basics right there. And that serpent seed, that set us apart from everybody. And so, of course, people follow the Trinity doctrine. And so but most of them, they follow it and they don't even know. They don't even know. They don't understand what it's saying. And so they don't know the difference. If you sit there and explain to them the truth of one God, they think it's the same thing. They think it's the same thing. They don't, and that's the way it is with the message. You talk to people about the message, and they don't have a clue. I mean, I know there's some people that are really deep in the message. I know that, and they know it. I mean, they've studied it. You know, I met this guy in Kenya, read the whole message, 47 to 65, and he's on his second time, plus all this other stuff that he's read. And so, you know, I haven't touched that. I haven't touched that. And so, but that's not it. That's not it at all. It's a revelation. If you haven't read but one book, if you haven't, you know, if you haven't read any books, it's a revelation. When God reveals himself in you, when he reveals himself, then you and him are one.
Yes, sir.
Then you're desiring to read it. You're desiring to hear it. But it ain't how much you read. It's not that. See, when Jesus went out, he started healing the sick, doing great works and things. Jesus did it. Moses did it. That's right. And he's doing it, the same thing today. And when he sends forth a meeting like that, revivals, and starts a meeting on the earth, and starts a moving along with these great signs and wonders, and when you see, come back, that same old school of teaching, there's something wrong somewhere. There's something new coming forth. There's something new coming. It has to be. That is God's way. That's the way he's done it all the way through. He's the same. He is a fine rabbi. He could go to any pulpit and preach when he was healing the sick. Yeah. And when it's like that,
People just lump it all together and they don't know the difference. Just like they're talking about, Sister Edith was telling me the other day about somebody saying that Jesus was a Jewish carpenter. And I was listening to the news one time and I heard Netanyahu, the prime minister or president of Israel, and he was talking about Jesus. And he said, Jesus, you know, and it was like, we're all together. Of course, you know, we're sending them billions of dollars. And so it's like, we're all together, you know, and, you know, our religion is almost the same thing. He said, you know, Jesus was just a Jewish rabbi. And I thought, well, you know, most nominal carnal minded people thinks, oh, that's wonderful. That's great. That's an insult. It's an insult. No, he wasn't. He wasn't the Jewish rabbi. He was the creator of heavens and earth. That's what he was.
Yeah.
And so that's what they make him something less.
Yeah.
See, he's a rabbi. He could go to any pulpit and preach when he was healing the sick. So was Brother Branham.
Yeah.
He could go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He could go anywhere.
Okay.
You know, and you watch these young preachers coming up in the message. And you watch the path that they take. Because you learn early on. Who you identify yourself with will determine which pulpit you get in. So if you want to get in all of these pulpits out there, then you're going to have to be in one of those churches. You're going to have to identify with one of those churches. If you get in something like this, or something like Brother Holmes, or someone who is not in the big crowd, then you're an outcast. They're not going to invite you. And we had a brother one time come. He was an evangelist. He just was, you know, a sweet brother, played his music, preached a sweet little message, nothing hard, nothing challenging, nothing, no, didn't rock no boats. Just, you know, everybody liked him. He loved everybody. Everybody loved him. It was wonderful until he came here. And he got an offer. He got an offer from the pastor. That brother, come, we'll support you. We'll send you out. We'll support your trips, help pay for your trips, help do all of that stuff. And the brother thought, wow, this sounds good. I never had the people give me offering, you know. But he said, to have something before I even go, this sounds like a good thing. And so he took off. He started preaching, telling him, I'm go to Brother Holmes' church. Oh, you go to Brother Holmes' church? We don't want you no more. Go another place. Within 6 months, every place he went, that was his last time to preach. And they started telling each other, oh, he's going here. What is it?
Amen.
That's the same denominational spirit.
Yes, sir.
The same denominational spirit.
Right.
I invited one of their big men one time. I told Brother Holmes, I said, Eddie Bissell's got a man he sends around the world. I said, I've been talking to him. I said, because I was trying to get books for the brothers in India. And I said, I'd like to invite him to come. Brother Holmes said, bring him. So I started talking to him. I said, hey, brother, we want you to come. He found out he was in South Carolina. I said, brother, we want you to come minister to us. I'm not going to call his name, but he's not. Yeah, as a matter of fact, he's not even with him anymore. But I think he was a son-in-law. I'm not sure. So anyways, he says, oh, yeah, I'll come. And so he was at a brother in South Carolina who knows us. And I said, brother, come by and minister. I said, he said, okay, I'll do that. And I said, you want to take three services? I said, we'll just do like Friday, Saturday, Sunday or something like that. And he said, oh, you want to really work me? And I thought, three services? It's not so bad. But fine. I said, it doesn't matter. Whatever you want. And so he told the brothers who he was visiting with that he got an invitation to come here. So he called me back and he said, brother, do you believe such and such? About marriage and divorce? Does your pastor have so many wives? And so we talked, and I said, brother, I said, so you're telling me that you don't think Brother Branham said these things? And he's, no. I said, I'm asking you to please come and preach it. please come and preach it. Show us where it's wrong so that we can be right. He refused. He wouldn't come. And it was all because he was poisoned by that brother. Mm-hmm. And so, but he has no excuse, because I told him, I said, you come and show us. I said, we are here. We're open. We want to learn. Just bring it. No, they don't want it. So all of that preaching, all that healing, all that raising of the dead, that was okay. But one day, he said, I and my Father are one. And brother, he wasn't so popular after that. When he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. But he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last days. Praise God. People that say they're caught up, that they've been caught up out of the seventh church age into Jesus Christ, huh? That the rapture's not like people thought it was going to be, that the resurrection's not like people thought it was going to be, that Brother Branham said, yeah, there'll be a resurrection, he said, but not like you think. Right. Who's he talking to?
Amen.
Whose thinking is he talking about? He's talking about everybody's, because everybody had the same idea. It didn't matter if you was in a denomination or you was in a messy church or where you was at. They all had the same idea about the resurrection. They all had the same idea about the rapture. They all had the same idea about the two witnesses. And finally, Brother Branham come out and he said, the mystery of the two witnesses. Well, if everybody knows what it is, it's not a mystery. If a denominational preacher can tell me that who those two prophets are, then that's not a mystery.
Amen.
If they can come right and say, it's Moses and Elijah. Did I have one tell me, come to the little church down there in Florida, said, no, it's Moses and Enoch, because he didn't die. He has to die. It's appointed every man to die. And I said, well, that's not what the Bible said. He said, don't matter, that's what it is. I like it's just funny when they do that. They don't even think nothing about it. They don't even think nothing about it, that they're just overriding the Word of God. It's like the Jehovah Witness. And Brother Branham talked about that too, but I had a Jehovah Witness I worked with for years, and the 144,000 is, they don't believe it's Jews. They believe it's their anointed ones. And so, which I already told you. They got all messed up in their numbers because their church grew so big that their anointed ones became more than 144,000. So now they had to increase the number. They had to increase the number. So they already changed it that it's not Jews, and now it's more than 144,000. And so that doesn't even mean anything to them. They said he's a vampire or whatever. So I think I'm going to close. This just, I'm going to finish this. So we'll read paragraph 140 and 141, and I'm going to close with this. They said, this man is a vampire. This man is a Beelzebub. That's the way he done them things. He could tell fortunes. He looked through their minds and perceived their thoughts. He's the fortune teller. But what it was, he was the word of God made manifest for that hour. And he was duty bound. He said, I always do that which is pleasing to my Father. That's what it was in every age. He was the Word, and he was discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He was the Word made manifest for the hour. That's what he was in Moses. He was the Word.
Amen.
And he was manifesting God to those people. And they couldn't recognize him. They couldn't recognize who it was. God help us to do the same thing, to do that which is pleasing to the Father. I hope you all will understand, if you disagree with me on these messages and things, that you remember, at least have this respect, that I have a responsibility. I'm not going to Tarshish. I'm on my road to Nineveh. I got to cry out. The Lord bless you all. Let's bow our heads. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So, I know it's a little bit chopped up this morning, and I'm going to keep looking for that message. If I find it, I'm going to send it out. But anyways, we just did the best we could, and we trust that's what he wanted said.
Amen.
And so we know that he's in control, so we always leave it right there. We leave it right there.
Amen.
And so it just made me think of Brother Branham when the pages of his Bible wouldn't open. And it was perfect. That was so perfect. Because here comes the priest. And he said later, when he was talking about it and explaining it, he said, can you imagine a Catholic priest coming to me and saying, steady, my son. God's going to do something. Can you imagine? You imagine what the prophet is thinking. You know, he's overwhelmed. You know, it's like he goes from one verse. He knows his Bible. He knows his Bible. He knows the scripture. Until he's even asking Jack Moore. He said, brother, isn't that right? That after this scripture is this scripture? And so, but it's perfectly from this page to this page, the scripture come over, but it's the wrong chapter. And so it just was God doing something. And so he does something always. And we thank him and we praise him. And sometimes we don't know to later exactly what he had. But you see it in your life. Over and over, you see it in your life. You wonder. What I think of a bride and them. And just think about the girls there. And I was thinking the other day about them. And I thought, they come from Kenya. Probably the best weather. Some of the best weather in the world. Right on the equator. The best weather. And now they're living in sub-zero, you know, but just that one day last week was like 25 below. It was minus 25 degrees, and I thought, and they're you know, they're hanging in there. They're doing okay. But it's a change. And God does things to change, to make us change. And you so many times, something, you'll think something bad's happening in your life. It's because it's a wall. And when you come to a wall, you have to go right or left to get around it. And God's wanting to turn you. And sometimes we think, am I doing something wrong? You know, God wants you to turn. He wants you to go another direction. And that's what was so hard about that separating from a church or a group or a body. It's hard. And you've been there for so many years, so much a part of your life, and you're a part of the people, but God's turning you. He's turning you another direction, and he has a reason, and he's going to prove it. And in down the road, you're going to look and you're going to see it had to be done. There's no way. If that hadn't happened, something else would have. I see now God move me this direction for this purpose. He knows. And so our desire is to please him. Where does he want us to go? What does he want us to do? What is his plan for us? It's not about how comfortable we are, where we're at, or being with the most people, or being this way or that way. It's nothing about that. It's about where he wants you. He's going to put you in the position where he can manifest himself through you to somebody,
right,
somewhere. Maybe many somebodies. Maybe only one somebody. It doesn't matter to you. You just want to be there when he wants to do it. That's all. That's all. You, no matter what, if you lose your job and you end up somewhere, God wanted you to be there. He had a purpose in it. That's right. And whatever it is that we know he's full control. Let us stand together with us now. I'm going to ask Brother Richard. Sorry to put Brother Richard on the spot a while ago as far as singing, but he just came right and just went right into it, and I really appreciate that. And it was so good, and I'm really sorry. So you just pray for me. You know, it's a proven thing that these children are raised with these things, and it's just natural. And there's something about us older people, it's something about it doesn't click. And I can remember when somebody first started explaining to me about cutting and pasting, I'm like, what? You know, you talk about cut and paste, you're talking about paper and glue. You know, and I thought, no. And then finally, somebody explained it to me and showed me, and I said, oh, that's why they call it that. And so I, you know, little by little, but there's still so much that's just, it doesn't make sense to me. And so, but God is good. I thank God, though, for what we have.
Amen.
Because we have the ability to search this message like nobody has ever been able to. Of course, I think one of the changes is, I think in Paul's day, the people there, their minds were so strong that they could remember it. They could remember most of what they heard. They could remember it. And so God gave us this because of the weakness of man in these last days. And so we want to take full advantage of all that God has given us.
Amen.
And so, amen. God bless you, brother.
Brother Don mentioned the fact that started off in Florida, and I remember going to a church because I was a meter reader, and we walked inside and it had all these books that were Brother Brown's messages, and I'd read the meter and because I didn't particularly preach there, but I didn't find nothing wrong with the messages that were laying there, you know. And so next month I'd go back and I'd look at another message. And I said, well, this man is a nice man. I mean, he's on the word, you know. So that got me in the message, you know. I thought it was pretty neat, you know.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, Father, you're so good to us that you feed us spiritually, Lord, and have nothing but thanks to you, Lord, watching over us. And we're glad to get Brother Goomba back, Lord, and he's a blessing as well, Lord, and we're thankful for him. We thank our Brother Don, Lord, bringing the message, Lord, and being a pastor to us, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for all the blessings you've given us, and can't thank you enough, Father, and the blessings and the health and everything that we're grateful for. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.